Life has a two-mountain shape. On the first mountain, we pursue conventional success, career advancement, financial security, social status. We build identities, cultivate talents, and establish ourselves as capable individuals. But something inevitably happens. Some reach the summit only to discover an emptiness, achievement without fulfillment. Others get knocked off by failure, illness, or tragedy, finding themselves in what Brooks calls the valley, a place where previous certainties collapse. In this valley, people face a choice. Some shrivel, becoming fearful and resentful. Others undergo transformation, discovering capacities for care they never knew they possessed. They begin yearning for something beyond self-interest, for moral causes, deep relationships, and interdependence. This marks the beginning of the climb up the second mountain. What distinguishes those on the second mountain is their joy, not the fleeting happiness of achievement, but the deeper satisfaction from serving others. These people radiate an inner light. They're not perfect, but they live for something beyond themselves, committed to family, community, vocation, or faith. This distinction between happiness and joy is crucial. Happiness involves victory for the self. Joy involves transcendence of self, moments when barriers between you and others fade away. We can create happiness, but joy seizes us. Our society suffers from what Brooks calls a crisis of connection. Over decades, we've swung too far toward prioritizing individual freedom over community and commitment. The moral ecology that once emphasized, "We're all in this together," has been replaced by one proclaiming, "I'm free to be myself," a fundamental shift from interdependence to radical autonomy. The consequences are everywhere. Rising loneliness, 35% of Americans over 45 are chronically lonely, declining trust in institutions, increasing deaths of despair through suicide and addiction, and tribal politics where compromise becomes impossible. Social media, despite its promise of connection, often creates shallow, performative relationships lacking genuine intimacy. Young adults face particular challenges, moving from the most structured childhood in history to the least structured adulthood. Unlike previous generations who inherited their parents' jobs, faiths, and identities, they must create everything themselves while navigating unstable careers and relationships. Some approach early adulthood as an aesthetic experience, treating life as interesting experiences to collect rather than commitments to fulfill. Others become insecure overachievers, flocking to prestigious companies but gradually losing touch with deeper questions of purpose. Leo Tolstoy achieved remarkable first mountain success as a celebrated novelist. His faith centered on intellectual and moral self-perfection, largely to impress others. He tracked his progress meticulously, believing self-improvement was life's ultimate purpose. Then devastating blows struck. His beloved brother died of tuberculosis, and witnessing a public execution in Paris shattered Tolstoy's faith in the Enlightenment ideals he'd built his life around. Life became not just meaningless, but absurdly cruel. He removed ropes from his room to prevent suicide. He had reached the valley, that dark night where former certainties dissolve. If this profound lostness could happen to Tolstoy, one of history's greatest writers, it can happen to anyone. Neither wealth, fame, nor artistic accomplishment shield us from the valley. Many outwardly successful people are particularly vulnerable, having invested so much in achievement-based identity. Suffering, though soul-crushing, can be precious. It jolts us from complacency, revealing deeper dimensions beneath what we thought was our soul's foundation. Through loss or crisis, suffering teaches genuine gratitude, creates solidarity with others who suffer, and breaks the illusion of self-sufficiency. The proper response isn't escape, but standing firm within it, allowing suffering to impart its difficult wisdom. Like bamboo pushing through cement, we have an unquenchable force inside us, our desire. Modern culture often treats us as merely thinking beings, but the valley reveals a deeper truth. The reasoning brain is actually the third most important part of our consciousness, with the desiring heart being first and most essential. Our emotions aren't just reactions, they're sophisticated guidance systems containing wisdom the analytic brain can't reach. When moved by music, inspired by courage, or touched by kindness, we experience emotional intelligence that transcends logic. The ultimate desire is for fusion with a beloved other, for an I-Thou bond and wholehearted surrender. The soul is that ineffable piece of consciousness with infinite value and dignity. It can't be measured like physical attributes or mental capabilities, yet it defines our essential humanity. It bears moral responsibility and primarily yearns for righteousness and fusion with the good, which is why everyone seeks a meaningful life. Though powerful, the soul is also reclusive. You might go years without feeling its yearning, distracted by career achievements or daily responsibilities. But eventually, it hunts you down, often during crisis or quiet reflection, demanding justification for how you've lived. Most people make four fundamental commitments that shape their identity and purpose: vocation, spouse/family, philosophy/faith, and community. These aren't casual choices, but profound covenants that transform us. Though initially feeling restrictive, these sweet compulsions create the framework for a meaningful life. The vocational commitment involves dedicating oneself to work beyond earning money, finding a calling that allows us to contribute unique talents. The commitment to spouse and family creates our most intimate bonds and teaches us to love beyond ourselves, requiring daily renewal through small acts of care. Our philosophical or faith commitment provides the moral compass guiding our decisions, manifesting as religious devotion, ethical principles, or personal philosophy. The commitment to community extends our impact beyond our immediate circle, connecting us to something larger than ourselves. These commitments, while demanding sacrifice, create the structure within which we find freedom and fulfillment. Rather than limiting us, they provide the foundation to build lives of significance, revealing that life's greatest meaning often comes from the responsibilities we choose to embrace. The journey to the second mountain begins with recognizing individualism's limitations. Our era's ethos has swung too far from collective solidarity, defining freedom as absence from restraint and undermining genuine connections. Our central problems, social isolation, distrust, polarization, family breakdown, stem from this erosion. Relationalism offers a middle way where each person exists as a node in a thick web of warm commitments. The relationalist doesn't dominate through willpower, but remains available to hear and respond to a summons. This calling often comes through love, for a child, spouse, neighborhood, vocation, or God, bringing an urge to make promises. Or it may arise from witnessing injustice that needs correction. Eventually comes an agency moment, when you discover your life's purpose by reflecting on when you felt most alive, usually when serving an ideal alongside others. This brings clarity and freedom from self-centeredness. People at this stage possess an interior stronghold of values that even death cannot defeat, and a generosity that radiates outward. What if fulfillment isn't found in self-discovery but self-surrender? What if joy comes not from freedom but commitment? The second mountain awaits as an invitation to live beyond yourself, to find purpose in service, and to discover that in giving yourself away, you become most fully alive.